hurts. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. Dark, dark, dark. It hurts so bad.
Thanks for joining us again. In this episode, we discuss the Dead Files Pandora's Box, which is from season one and episodes 15, 16 on Travel Channel On Demand. Yeah. Megan, do you want to tell the people why you chose this episode?
I sure do, because I saw Pandora's Box and it made me think of the Greek story Pandora's Box. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool.
Beautiful.
So that's what it was. Yeah, it was very complex.
It was good because yeah. it was a good one.
It was very good. And yeah. I really liked the tie into Pandora's Box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was very subtle, but very nuanced. It was delightful.
Yes, with the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah.
Content warning, we did talk about a few really horrible deaths. Burning yeah.
assisted
to death.
Assisted suicide.
Medically assisted suicide.
Yeah, we did give our opinions on medically mm-hmm. assisted suicide.
Couple of really bad train wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
No murders, though.
No.
No.
No murders.
Or slavery.
Mm-mm.
No, surprising.
Surprising me.
I know.
What a shock.
This was in Georgia.
In the 1800s. Mm.
But yeah. It was the end of the 1800s, so slavery was illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Lame.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, you guys. I'm yeah. kidding. It's, so.
And the only housekeeping I have is we have a new patron. Kristen, welcome, Kristen.
Welcome.
We've already welcomed Kristen on our sideshow episode, which actually we haven't recorded yet, but we're going to do that in a minute.
I'm her there.
But that will be that. So she will have already been welcomed by the time this mm-hmm. comes out. But I just want the masses to know we have a new patron and we're excited to welcome her. So
she's number one.
Woo, woo, woo. So that's aside it. That's Shannon. All the housekeeping I have. Anybody else yeah. have anything they want to go through? No, nope.
I don't have anything.
Mm-mm. Okay, cool. Well, enjoy the show. Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Pandora's Box. Megan is here with your overview. Take it away.
Thank you. So this one takes place in Georgia. Carol and her family have had experiences since they moved in. The previous owner fled the house, leaving everything he owned behind, including furniture and a lot of angels, little cherub angels. Carol's daughter, Melanie, has a ghostly presence named Pearl in her room who has started asking Melanie to do things for her, such as get her a dress. Carol is worried about what Pearl could coerce Melanie into, potentially dangerous situations. Carol's husband, Robert, told both Carol and Steve that he wasn't a believer at the start of the investigation, and at the end of the show, I'm not convinced that he has changed his beliefs. Digging through the archives, Steve uncovers a sad story about a 16-year-old girl named Pearl who burned to death the night before she was supposed to leave for college. The trunk she had packed would remain sealed until decades later. As if that wasn't enough of a tragedy, a horrible train wreck that took the lives of over 20 people occurred relatively close to this location. During the reveal, Amy connects with the spirit of Pearl so strongly she had to take a break after she was overwhelmed by grief and sadness from her. There are also two spirits in the attic who are intent on scaring anyone who lives there. Will Amy be able to provide some answers to Carol and her family? And, more importantly, will they follow whatever advice she gives? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues.
Very nice.
The activity is continuing at my house.
I heard that little roar.
I did hear that. Yeah.
It was like perfect timing. My dad got home, and so Wesley, that's his like, ooh, someone's coming in the house, and then he just body slammed the leg of my desk. So everything was going doing this.
So we're with Steve. He arrives in a town called Blackshear, Georgia, a couple of hours outside of Savannah.
I just want to know, the one we did last week was Georgia too.
Yeah, it was.
It was Macon. So two Georgias in a row.
That's right, because I talked about when I broke down.
Yep.
Yeah. I will say with this episode throughout, I noticed it was super dramatic. Like the entire time was very dramatic.
Yeah. Early season. Early season was very, they did a lot of those
like the very dramatic
effects. Yeah. And whereas like later on, they do the very consistent, like, you know, the setup of a dark room or something like that. But this one they do. And this house was like picked up out of the 1910s. Yes.
That's what my house looked like. Megan was there. That's what my house looked like. Yes. I had all that same furniture. You did not feel like you were in 2000 whatever in my house.
Even just going up the stairs, as they were going up the stairs there with the carpeting, the runner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed how floral and vibrant that print was.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that.
I was like, oh, this just screams haunted.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
When one thing we noticed is when Amy was arriving, you know, when they, especially in the early seasons, they really show her channeling in the van and or in the car on the way up, and oof, she was something in this car ride getting up to the house.
Yeah, she was laying back, her eyes were kind of open, but you could see that her eyes were rolled back.
We had
she was like, oh.
Girl I played soccer with in college, because we had the coach buses to take us everywhere. She would sleep on the bus, and it was always her eyes never closed all the way, so she just freaked all of us out.
Yeah,
all the
time. Sure. That's freaky.
Uh-huh.
So Amy is talking about on the car ride, you know, leading up, how she opens herself up and how sometimes the dead usually know that she's coming before she knows she's coming, and sometimes they'll appear to her. I swear I haven't done anything tonight, and I'm not drinking or anything. I just can't talk. And this person, this girl, she said was there. She's angry, and she showed up like before she even got to the location. She showed up at her hotel.
Yeah,
that was really freaky.
And I will say they also had a great shot of a stop sign as Amy was talking about this, and it was just like the way that it was angled and with her voiceover going on, very well done with the imagery. Whereas I feel like in the last season we all kind of commented like, do you guys even try anymore? Like,
right, like they just gave up.
Like, but do you remember the one that was right next to the railroad tracks and they just did like a shot down the road and there was nothing there?
That was probably a drone shot because they had to use the drones.
Right. They got to get their money's worth on the drone.
$50,000 of drones. And they're like, let's get this railroad. But yeah, then we meet Carol. She's the one that called him. It was interesting because it looked like they were interviewing like right by the front door. So it seemed like he entered the house and then they just instantly started talking.
Yeah.
So it was just a weird place for them to interview. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the case, but
it was
like,
probably just the most ornate area in the house. I know our foyer was.
They really wanted to get that floral pattern of the runner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and you never, you know, like, and the early season, really trying to figure out their footing and what are the things that they're going to do. Because I know they didn't do a picture. I don't even know if they did pictures until like third season, maybe. Because remember, first and second, we've learned, were kind of filmed at the same time and then just cut.
It was a picture of this family, but it wasn't now. It was later on.
It was a picture from the wall.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, they didn't go over everyone's name. Right. They just showed it.
And that picture, too, made you assume that everybody was young, but they aren't, because when they talk to the son, Justin, he's like somewhere in his 20s, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that picture's probably 10 to 12 years old based off of how the boys looked in that picture.
I will say Carol's reasoning for bringing them in is unique, because normally it's like, this is an evil thing and we want it out. And
if you can't help us,
our marriage will fail. Yeah. I'll get diabetes. And
well, did you find it? I found this interesting when Steve did his, you know, like, we're here because he's like, Carol and the kids are worried. Not the family.
No, Robert.
Not the reluctant husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. He was a piece in this one. I don't know. His whole, at the reveal, his whole vibe was just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how he was throughout the entire reveal. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw him roll his eyes at one point. Like,
I'm sure he did.
Get it together, you douche.
Well, and I mean, we also talk about all those angels in that house, but we never get a reasoning as to why there's all the angels in the house other than, well, he might have collected them.
That's what the neighbor said.
Really? Yeah. There's 500 angels. You think he didn't collect them?
Yeah. No. Obviously, he collected them. We're looking for an actual answer.
I think they're just the souls of people in them.
That is such a creepy idea.
It is.
That is one of the reasons why dolls were created.
I know.
Yeah. So then we get into the kitchen and we're in the kitchen with Carol, and she said she took her dogs out to go to the restroom one morning, which I thought was a really funny
She's Southern. She's being polite.
I know. She is.
Well, she probably just didn't want to say potty.
Right. But because that's not
I
that's
don't get that she's a woman that says potty.
No, I know.
I get that she's more of a restroom. I don't think she even says bathroom.
I'm just picturing like a restroom outside, like an outhouse restroom, but like with a butler to hand the dogs a little mint when they're done and everything.
There's different stalls and there's like reading material.
But
and so
it's funny because we use those terms, but then you go to Europe and places, a lot of it's just like the toilet.
Toilet, yeah.
Yeah.
Or water.
It's not
closet,
a bathroom. WC. It's not the restroom. It's just the toilet.
The toilets mm-hmm. are over here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So she took the dogs to the restroom one morning. It was very dignified. They sprayed when they were done because they're not heathens. And then she came back in and they had kind of like a baker's rack or like a china hutch. And the cabinet door had been completely ripped off the hinges. And she was with the dogs. So we know it wasn't them.
It was not the dogs. Mm-hmm.
It was not. There's nobody else. She goes, it scared the daylights out of me. And I'm like, well, fucking yeah, it would scare the daylights out of me. It wasn't just opened. It was ripped off the hinges.
Yeah. It looked like, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but it looked like as if the door was opened and some person went through the room really fast and like hooked it with their leg and bent it backwards.
Yeah.
That's what the way it looked like. It was
ripped.
Are you
speaking from
like
experience?
We're not talking about Amy right now, AP. We're talking about the show. Okay.
Got it.
I'm going to appreciate you singling her out that way.
Now,
alcohol was not involved.
Methinks someone doth protest too much.
You don't know. No, that's probably what happened.
I have so many bruises from just walking into things that I was like, I thought I was clear of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing that a lot lately. Like, I'll go to grab something and I'll totally miss what it is and cram my finger on something.
That's like, okay, like depth perception then.
Yeah. It's like I'm all off. Like, everything's not where it's supposed to be, and I can't judge distances. It's very weird. And it's only been like the last week, so I hope it's not like aging thing.
Yeah.
But it's very weird.
And then Amy, we cut to Amy, and she said she's talking about the 17-year-old spirit that she encountered, the one that came to her before she even got to the house. And she can open cabinets, and she broke dishes. And I thought it was interesting where Matt said after she was dead, and Amy said, yeah, she's been dead. And it was weird.
I feel like it was when she said, well, yeah, she's been dead. I feel like it was a light correction in phrasing. I think he just, you know, like sometimes we all say something and we're like, it's close enough, but it's not the right phrasing. Mm-hmm.
I'm always right on with my words.
I'm not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Likely he meant like after she had died or after she was already dead. Mm-hmm. And Amy's like, well, she is dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she's been dead.
That doesn't make sense. No.
None of that's. I know what he's asking and I know what she's saying, but it sounds weird when she's been dead. Well, she was, I mean, it makes it sound like she was dead and now she's not.
She's been dead. And so she can do these things. Yeah. Since she died is like where that's. But yeah, I get that he was asking,
did she do this when she was alive? I get that's probably what he was asking. But he's just verifying, she did this stuff as a ghost, not as a living person.
Mm-hmm. I got it as that Amy was just trying to correct, like, yeah, since she's been dead.
Since she's been dead. You're welcome, everyone. And just like that, we just lost all our Patreon people.
Maybe Kelly Clarkson
will
hear this.
I heard some doors slamming.
The dogs start howling. I'm sorry, you guys. So then we're still in the kitchen, and Steve's like, anything else in this room? And Carol, while we were putting pantry, like food away in their pantry, and a box of sugar came out with enough force that it went from one side of the pantry and hit the door on the other side. And she said, I really want to leave at that point. And I'm like, yes, yeah, same, Carol.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, it's one thing is falling out, but it's shot across the room. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's
like the knife in the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, that one was scary.
It always comes back to that fucking knife.
I know, that was a scary one.
And then Amy Allen is talking about she takes the dishes, the spirit, and throws them on the floor. And I thought her acting this out was so funny because she was like, throws them on the floor and throws them on the floor.
She was like, very demonstrative, or I don't know if that's the right word for it, but like when she was talking about other stuff too, and the bang, all that.
I wonder
if some of it too was early on, was like, play it up as much as possible so we get viewers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And but that's not like calling into integrity of her. This is season one.
This is season one. It's season one.
So this is not calling into her integrity of what she's doing, just more so that sometimes you have to embellish a little.
Yes.
Yeah. We never
do whatever
that.
The director tells you to do.
Yeah. No, we never embellish. And then we also go, we're back to Carol, and she's talking about the when Melanie, who has Down syndrome, she had friends over, and they were watching television. They couldn't find Melanie. She was in a closet, and she said Pearl was bugging her to ask her to find a dress for Pearl. And so that's when Carol really became concerned, like, can she get Melanie to go out the window? Can she get Melanie to go on the roof, into the street? And, I mean, that's valid concerns, especially when you're dealing with a child. Like,
right. And I thought of Amy, too. Amy Allen's story about when she was young.
Yes.
And the spirits convinced her to, or tried to convince her to bite on an extension cord.
Shadow people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I do appreciate that we get to learn more about Pearl, because I feel that Pearl was not as malicious as we as we believe at the beginning,
right.
And that she's more frightened and upset because nobody's told her anything.
And confused, too. So, and so shortly after this is when we meet Melanie, and that's where we get the picture of the family, which, looking at it, I mean, you know, Melanie looks like she's maybe 5. There's another middle child who looks like maybe 8. And then Justin, the older one, looks like, I don't know, 12 or 13. So it's very dated, photo, but we're talking to Melanie and kind of asking her again. He asks her a lot of yes or no questions, which I'm like, Steve, can you open-ended questions?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this is season one, which I get, but it never really got better. He continued to ask those closed questions throughout the show. And I'm like, Steven, you are a detective. Wouldn't you want, like, he leads them to where he wants them to go. And so, because the first question he asked is, do you see the ghost in the closet? And you could have said, hey, where do you see a ghost? You know?
Mm-hmm. Or, I hear you see ghosts. Tell me more.
Yep. Or, yeah. So he gets a picture out, the same picture that Carol showed Steve, and she's pointed right to Pearl.
Which, my cynical thought, though, too, is, again, not discounting her experience or anything like that, but she already knows the girl's name is Pearl, which the name is probably underneath the picture in that book. But also, the mom had the book.
Mm-hmm.
She's obviously looked at that book, and she does confirm it later on that she had the picture, and she asked, you know, do you see anybody here that you recognize, or whatever she asked her daughter at that point. But I'm like, I know that this is more for just the show, but she knew exactly what the picture was, and she knew exactly, it would be like us, one of us being like, can you point out Megan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's kind of leading. So, and then Amy's up in the attic, and this is where she finds a couple of kids, and she also says there's something else up here. They're being watched, to which, like, kind of cliched.
We've had a few watchers.
We have a few
watchers. We had one just last week, maybe, or the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we had another one early on that we covered. I don't know if there were others.
Like
that
the show that was actually called The Watchers?
Yeah.
Or the episode?
Was there one?
Yeah.
Or I wasn't sure if there was one that was called that, or if that was what we just called our episode when we did that.
No, I'm pretty sure there was one in like season 9 or something, somewhere later on.
Yeah.
Then we get to Robert. That's all I have to say about Robert.
Mm-hmm. Another reluctant husband.
That's not all I have to say. I lied. So, the first thing he tells Steve is, look, I've had conversations with Carol, and basically I told her until a ghost shows up, taps me on the shoulder and says, I'm here, I'm not going to believe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, stuff is happening to your daughter. Stuff is happening in your house, but, you know, that's it's got to happen to me. And then 15 minutes later, something grabbed his leg. And so it's like, and even after that, he's still like not 100% a believer.
Right.
Until it happens to me, I won't believe any of the rest of you. But even when it happens to me, I won't believe the rest of you.
I still won't. Yeah.
That sounds like Trump's America.
It's people that have they've decided what they believe in. Nothing is going to change their mind. That's just.
Yeah. And until and I thought he was going to do this bad shit to other people, but not to me.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around.
It happened to me. Mm-hmm. And so then we're still with Robert. And he said they were downstairs having dinner. He and his wife, Carol. You could hear someone stomping upstairs like they were mad and door slammings. And Steve said nobody was up there. And Robert was like, nobody was up there. And I'm like, well, was it the dogs, though?
You didn't ask if it was the dogs. We know they have dogs.
Steve, we don't know.
Because they go to the restroom.
They went to the restroom. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and then Amy comes in and she goes, there's two men and they do things to people here. And I'm like, well, I hate that statement. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. So as Amy said, earlier, the sound effects in this episode are just like insane.
It is. I like it. I think this is great. I enjoy it. I like the creepy whispers. Mm-hmm. I like the bang, bang, bang. I like the cool lighting and the cinematic feel. I think it's amazing. I don't know why they didn't keep doing it. Maybe they couldn't afford to pay people that were good at that. But
yeah,
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. You know, as Steve's interviewing Robert more and more, it's kind of, it's like he grudgingly believes, you know, like there's stuff that's happening. He was very Greg-like, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of stuff happening, and he's like, I don't like to talk about it in the house because every time I do, something happens, to which I'm like, well, you're sort of manifesting it, and then it's like, do you believe or don't you believe?
Like, exactly. I'm like, if you don't believe, why are you scared of it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just had that conversation with my mother the other day about witches. Mm-hmm. She said she didn't believe in witches. And I said, then why are you afraid of them? Mm. And I said, and P.S., they do exist. And then we had a whole conversation about witches. And then she just went, okay.
Is she afraid of taco sandwiches on a stick?
To me, that's this. You don't believe in witches. That's like saying I don't believe in bowls.
I know. I told her. I said that's like saying you don't believe in popcorn because there was a big thing of popcorn on her. I said you can't not believe in things that are real.
Yeah.
Now witches may not wear a pointy black hat and go but they might. But
no judgment.
No, that's fine if that's how they want a witch. Mm-hmm. But that's what you're afraid of, and that's made up. But you don't have to be afraid of witches, first of all. Secondly, they do exist. I know some. And then I told her that I have a cousin who's a witch. I said, you know, my cousin. And she goes, oh, she's always been odd.
Which, like...
But she's one of the good ones. My cousin that I'm talking about. Obviously, because she's a witch. She's one of the good ones.
Yeah. People. I don't believe in witches. Oh, okay. Well, I don't believe in bowls.
I don't believe in espresso martini in a can.
Yeah. How is it, by the way?
It's delicious. It's very good.
I'm.
It's a little milky, though, so I'm afraid I want to be like... So I'll try not to do that. I do. I have a giant thing of water with me. So, yeah.
Oh, AP, you were right. It was Jim. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the neighbor.
I'm so glad you called that out so I didn't have to.
Is that the sun?
Yeah.
We
all know you would have.
When you said Justin, I was like, Justin doesn't sound right, but since I don't know what it is, I'm not saying anything.
I knew it. I was like, I'm pretty sure. I know it's a J name, but sure, we'll go with Justin.
Now we're with Jim, the son, not Justin, the neighbor. And Steve's asking him about his experiences, and Jim says every night there's something new. There's door slamming downstairs, his closet door opening and closing, and Steve is like, this closet? And he goes, yeah, that closet. And I'm like, okay, well, kind of redundant. There's like one closet in the room. Like, what closet is it going to be? Jim's like, actually, the one down the hall. I just sit in the hallway and watch it open.
That's like last week. My oldest daughter. She's your only daughter.
Right. My son and my child, Jessica.
I love when they do that.
Oh, my God. And And then I also thought, like, because again, we get to Jim and Steve said, do you believe in this stuff before you moved here? And Jim said, no. And Steve said, how about now? And Jim said, yeah. And I said, well, maybe Greg should watch this episode.
Maybe his dad should, too.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, gosh. Like, I understand not believing stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's fine. But when there's evidence in front of you happening to you,
yeah.
Greg, how do you not believe it?
You can believe and also not be scared of it. Those are two separate.
There are two different things.
Those are two separate things. And I feel like sometimes potentially people who say they don't believe, it's just because they're like, well, I wasn't scared.
Yeah. Which, yeah. Well, again, like you said, is
those
different.
Aren't believing and scare are in different parts of the dictionary. So they have different definitions as well. They're not the same.
They're not the same.
Yeah. They don't belong in the thesaurus together.
First of all, it's the thesaurus. All right. You're going to make fun of me.
Do it right.
Do it right.
I was just giving you an option.
Some people
I don't have to do all the work.
I know. I mean, I do make it all very easy.
Sometimes, yeah.
Where are we now? Hang on.
Where Amy comes in and sees a child playing with the door or messing with the door. And this is where I thought maybe she was seeing like an imprint of like potentially Melanie playing with the door, maybe when she was younger, or she's more of a child spirit, you know, just with her Down syndrome and stuff too. She seemed very even chipper, even though she was talking about something that she was maybe a little scared of.
Yeah.
But just with the door, and she had to, you know, open the closet door in order to get to try and find Pearl's dress. So that's where my brain went, because we don't really hear about a child's.
The only children we hear about are the ones in the attic, but she only touches on those.
Well, she
Amy
said
does really quick.
And, which I think mean, those were more related to the train wreck that we hear about later.
Yeah. But Pearl was a child. I mean, she was 16.
Yeah.
But when she says child, because
she says she does describe five, maybe.
Because when you know, we're talking about, Amy says there's a lot of girls here, teenager girls. So she specifies that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then she said the style looks like 1800, you know, 1880, 1890.
And I wonder if that's not a, what is it, the memory type one. Not
The residual?
Yeah, thank residual. You. I knew it was an R, but I was like, I cannot get the right word. Megan shared.
That it's like a videotape being played over and over. Yeah.
I just wonder if it was
something. It
probably
is. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then Amy, so she's talking about these girls. And then Amy, you had a really interesting note here.
Oh, just when she giggled, it was very creepy.
Yeah.
A very creepy giggle.
But there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it was like, is she channeling kind of that or just that time frame? Because I would assume if it's residual, you don't really channel that necessarily.
True.
But maybe just the emotion of it?
Yeah, maybe it just kind of made her feel that way. And
Or maybe she was just nervous and she, you know, giggles when she's nervous.
She does say in an episode, and it was in the early seasons, that there was, I saw it a long time ago, but it was one where she talks about there's a lot of dead children here, and I don't like dead children. I don't like children. Yeah. I don't like dead children.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, and so we don't hear much about that later on, but it was in one of the first three seasons, I swear.
And I wonder if she doesn't like dead children because sometimes they're not children.
Yeah.
So then Steve tries to reach out to the previous owner, and he won't take his calls or talk to me or anything, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Which makes you wonder, something had to have really happened there.
It's very Amityville Horror. Like, left the house. I mean, he literally left all the furniture. It's not as bad as the episode where the guy died in the mattress and they're still sleeping on that mattress.
Yeah. Not like that.
Yeah.
Well, and in my house too, the one I lived in where we moved in and all the stuff was still there, they left in a hurry too, but not because it was haunted, even though it was. They left because they went on vacation in Costa Rica and didn't come home. They just loved it so much. They didn't want to come home.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. They came back to sell the house, but they didn't want, they were like, once they got there, they're like, we're not coming back home.
That's fair.
So we bought all the house with all the stuff in it.
Yeah. So Justin has been living in, he's their neighbor. He's been living in the house on and off for the past 15 years, which at first I was like, well, that's weird. But then I thought, well, maybe he went to college and mm-hmm. maybe he went
to parents' house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. so it dawned on me after that. But, and this segment didn't really add much to it. I mean, we don't get a ton of history. We don't get a big bombshell. I think Mm-mm. because it's the first season, they were just trying to fill time.
Well, I think he was really trying to get a history of the yeah. area, like of the house, of somebody who's connected to it. And since Justin does state, you know, she was one of my best friends, I was over here like every day.
The daughter of the previous owner.
Yep,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And the previous owner refused to talk to him. Yeah. So he's like grasping at straws. Like, I guess I'll talk to the next door neighbor then. And hopefully he has something. Yeah. And he had a little bit, but he didn't have all that much.
Yeah.
But the funniest part, I think, is when Steve says, I heard that house was filled with angels. And I'm like, you heard, Steve? You heard a rumor? You were just there. Right. Unless, you saw them.
Unless
they recorded it first. In different, yeah.
Yeah, unless he meets Justin before he goes into the house, which then at that point, script writers just know you're going to cut it that way and say... Yeah.
And don't let Steve say it differently. I heard.
And I'm like, the rumor has it, and the rumor was my eyes. I saw 500 angels. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're all over everywhere. This house. They're everywhere.
Angels everywhere, as neighbor Justin said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, I don't know. And they were like the cherub angels, too. I think AP.
We had a bunch of those in our house, too.
Yeah. They were not like, I guess you would call them gothic angels, because those are more like the scary angels, right? Like gargoyle-y.
Yeah, there weren't any of those scary ones, but there was
cherub.
Yeah, we had a cherub angel fountain in the back of our house, in
did
our
you?
Backyard.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Missed out.
Digging through the archives.
So now we go to, we're digging through the archives and we meet Chief Eddins, who is the local fire chief. Mm-hmm. And so Chief Eddins says on August 27th, 1910, 16-year-old daughter of George Taylor, Pearl Taylor, was involved in an incident where she was trying to place a kerosene lantern onto the mantle mm-hmm. of the fireplace when it dropped and exploded and it caught her on fire. And I'm like, that's horrendous.
I actually found a couple of article clips about this with her, so I can kind of pull one up here.
I never got to reading those.
Trigger warning coming up here.
Oh yeah, this is some really horrific descriptions of fire and injury and stuff caused by fire.
So while AP looks for that,
I have it right here.
Oh, okay.
So this one's a little blurry to say, but it says, Miss Taylor dies results of burns, black share girl victim of explosion. Last night at 10:30, Miss Pearl Taylor, daughter of George Taylor, of his place, was fatally burned by an explosion of a lamp. Basically, they say she went to place a lamp on the mantle and missed the mantle. Mm. And the lamp fell into the hearth. And in her effort to pick the lamp up, was enveloped in the flames from the burning oil. Mm-hmm. So her father tried to extinguish the fire and summoned medical aid at once. But the flames had already caused frightful injuries, and at 8 o'clock this morning, the spirit of the young girl took flight.
Oh, that's interesting that they put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then this is a second one that says a little bit more. So it's on August 29th, and it says, Miss Pearl Taylor, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. G.W. Taylor of the place, died as a result of being burned by the dropping or exploding of a lamp during last night. Miss Taylor was in the room with her sister and had gone downstairs for medicine for her sister's little baby. Mm-hmm. Returning with the medicine, it is thought she started to place the lamp on the mantle and missed it. So, you know, probably like we've all done, we even talked about earlier, like you go to set something and you think you're there. Mm-hmm.
Misjudging distance,
Or how many times have I broken a glass just by thinking I was above the edge of something? My sister mm-hmm. shattered the bottom of a wine bottle once, trying to put it on her mantle or on the countertop, hit the bottom of the countertop, the circle at the bottom of the fell right out.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, plus if her daughter's baby, I mean, is sick,
sister's baby.
Sister's baby. It could be like an emergency where he's or she is like throwing
She's
up
in a
and
hurry.
They're trying to stop it or, you know, so there's, it just seems like it was a perfect storm of horrible events
which
that
then
led up to this.
Is potential also to go why she went to go pick the pieces of the lamp up is because it goes into like you're in just active mode.
Yeah. Yep. You're not thinking.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, as we've mentioned, horrific way to go. Yeah. And this is one of those cases where she would have been most likely covered in third degree burns over the majority of her body.
Yeah.
This is in 1910, you're not surviving this.
No.
And this is where you're in a lot of pain.
Yeah. I mean, Chief Eddins said they burn the complete skin layers off. So
so your nerve endings are exposed.
Bless her heart. Oh my, and oh my God, I can't.
So like, you know, people today who get these kinds of burns do have a chance, but they are in immense physical pain because they also can't do certain things to give pain relief because it's not the same type.
Yeah.
And so, this is, to me, is one of those spots like, this is where you wish you could just help somebody along.
Yeah.
When they're suffering like that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because this last weekend I brought that up with one of my friends and it's like, we put animals down when they're suffering, but we don't do it for people. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't make sense to me.
If you
have a terminal illness and you are going to be suffering horribly.
ALS.
Yeah.
Huntington's.
Yeah. I mean, Parkinson's, you know, any of these, why wouldn't you want to go out before that all starts happening, before you start to forget or all of that, you know?
It's not even like, you know, with like ALS, it's to avoid what you're being killed by your own body.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we don't do it.
I don't do it
for animals. I mean, why, you know?
Yeah, we can show them the courtesy, but
the
we
compassion
can't do it.
That we can't show ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is a topic that's being discussed in Minnesota legislature right now, which I know my mom and I were talking about it last week because it just kind of comes up that way. But I've thought that way for a long time. Yeah. I know that in some religions, including Catholicism, it's viewed as suicide. I think there's a very different class of this, as it's not taking your life to just because you don't think anybody wants you here anymore, whatever might be the reasons, it's to avoid the suffering that is coming of drowning in your own fluids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To which they could say, well, Jesus suffered for us. To which I would say, well, yeah, he suffered so we don't have to.
Yeah.
So,
well, medical reasons should not be based on religion.
No, it shouldn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. That's what they would argue. Yeah, I get it.
You know,
but that's what I would argue back.
Yeah. If I'm in my right mind and I know, like, I was just diagnosed with a terrible disease that will eventually, I'll drown on my tongue or swallow my tongue or whatever it is. When it starts, I wouldn't want to go that way. Give me some sleeping pills and.
Yep.
Anyway, that got dark.
Yep.
So we go back to Amy and she's talking about Pearl. Her body's all beat up. She said it's all broken. And she said it hurts. It hurts. It hurts so bad. And then Amy does a voiceover and she says, this walk is so punishing. She says, I'm absorbing this girl's emotional and physical pain. She wants to help her move on, but Amy can't. She's too angry to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Poor girl.
I know.
If anyone has a doubt why Amy left the show, they should watch this. This is definitely one of the reasons. It's not all of it, but I don't believe.
I mean, she did get better at kind of closing herself off, but still, there was always a piece of her that was experiencing whatever the person she's channeling experienced.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I put in here that if you were to watch like the episodes from early on and compare them to season 15, you see that what I put in here was more about the stories and how they're different. Like that last season, we had how many episodes that were like, why did they go to this place?
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
Especially after Amy left, which nothing mm-hmm. against Cindy. She was
no, not at all.
Amazing.
It was the choices yes. that were.
It was the yeah. It was production.
I think
choices.
We kept watching because of Cindy, because mm-hmm. she, you know, yeah. she was the only one that. It her style was so different than Amy's, but in such a unique way mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that it was really interesting watching her. But then you have fucking Brittany, who's like, "Have you read my father's book?" It's like.
I didn't write that on the wall. It's not my handwriting.
It's not my handwriting. I just do kitchen magic, you know, but I don't remember doing it. It's in my father's book. So then this is the best name. And I miss the pronunciation of his last name. Is it Sweat or Sweet?
Sweat. They never said.
Okay, because it's Forrest, S-W-E-A-T. And that looks to me like Sweat.
It's Sweat.
I would go Sweat.
I'm sure it's Sweat. And I said it sounds like a perfume scent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a men's perfume. Or yeah. A men's cologne, I guess, because perfume yeah. is girly.
Girly.
Yeah. So he is Pearl Taylor, the woman who, or the girl who was killed by the fire. He is related to her. And mm-hmm. he says, yes, she was my great aunt. Mm-hmm. So his job is to kind of fill in what happened, because, you know, earlier we just got, she was killed in a fire. So this is where Forrest says that Stacey College, back then 16 years old, was very unusual for anybody, much less a woman, to go to college at the age of 16. And Steve says, so she was gifted. Forrest says, yes, she was. And I was like,
that's she, Pearl.
There's, ooh, look at that hat.
Pearl. And that's her signature there, too.
I love it. I love
when you're holding that up. That looked like somebody older than 16, but also
1910 though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like that other picture that they have in the show, mm-hmm. you can't make out anything. It's just a big blur.
It was the printing in the newspapers.
Her hair looked very sure. 1950s yeah. in that picture. It looked and like
I was trying
out.
To figure out if it was the it, yeah. It gave that bouffant type yes. look, but yes. I was wondering if there was if her hair was up and there was like something over her shoulder potentially, but we don't really see.
Yeah.
So Pearl was going to college. She's great. She's gifted. Woohoo! And then Steve said, "Well, what about the rest of the family? We know how bad it was for Pearl, but what about the rest of the family?" And Forrest says, you know, if your child died burning and you sat there for 6 or 8 hours, basically watching her slowly die.
Mm-hmm. And unable to do anything.
And unable to do anything. Could you ever recover from it? And I'm like, probably not. And this wasn't the first child they lost.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, you know, and this is kind of, again, we get back to this medically assisted suicide, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's rough. So Amy talks about another man that she said a spirit. He's tall. He's wearing a suit and he's confused. He keeps saying, "What am I doing here?" And she said, "He's carrying all this pain." And as she's talking, she's whispering. And so Matt says, "Why are you whispering?" And she says, "I don't want him to know. He's confused. I don't think he knows he's dead."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they zoom in on her. And it looked to me like she was crying. AP thinks it's her makeup.
But I think it was her makeup.
I think it was really? Her makeup. Yeah, because mm-hmm. later on, she's got it still there in different different parts. So, and yeah. if she closes her eyes, she's, one, got a very light purple eyeshadow, but there mm-hmm. is glitter there. And glitter does tend to fall mm-hmm. down because I like glittery eyeshadow. And then she's got a beautiful lipstick color too that's got a little shimmer
yeah.
and shine.
Oh, yeah, she looks super cute.
But she was definitely on that.
It was tears.
She was definitely on that verge, but I also she's got a little glisten going on, but there was definitely some
glitter.
Which, by the way, is something that it sounds like a lot of Gen Zers are starting to, or maybe it's just women going back to using body glitter because glitter stays everywhere. So you can't
your DNA, get it? Everywhere.
So it's being used as a defense mechanism.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. At least that's what I've been seeing on Ye Olde Instagram.
We were the pioneers of glitter, though, just so
everybody's
aware. Oh, my God.
I would have everywhere. Glitter spray in your hair,
and
just
all
over.
Oh, you had to have it on your chest and your arms. You had to mm-hmm. do the... Yep. Why were we... Oh, my God, we were obsessed with glitter.
Mm-hmm.
glitter everywhere.
And why? And you wonder why we have glitter bombs now? It's because of our generation.
It is. You're welcome, and also I'm sorry.
And unless you deserve it.
Unless you deserve it, and then fuck you. Okay, so Steve, you know, he's, I can't even imagine losing a child. And then that's when Forrest says they lost a child earlier. But then they don't touch on that either. Mm-hmm. So,
but Amy also says at one point, she, when she's talking about the dead guy, she also says, you know, like it's 1901, but I'm seeing lots of dead little babies. Mm-hmm. Little babies that are dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, all the dead babies are collected in the angels.
In the angels.
Yep.
So yeah. This is, I mean, honestly, the only key piece of information, in my opinion, that Forrest brought to the party was he talked about a trunk that Pearl had mm-hmm. with clothes in it, because the next day, like we said, she was going to go to college. Mm-hmm. So after she passed away, Grandma Taylor, who I assume would be maybe her mother.
Yeah.
Pearl's mother.
Yeah.
Would not let anybody open the trunks. And so she essentially sort of turned them into like a shrine almost, or so she kept them closed. And then in 1981, after the grandmother passed away, they opened the trunks. And right as they opened the trunk, Forrest said all of a sudden out of nowhere, a lightning bolt and thunder just came out of nowhere and were like, boom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's kind of weak. Like, in my opinion, that's, I don't know. I mean, we live in the Midwest. How many times have, you know, weathermen been like, it's going to be a clear day and then it starts raining? So to me, I don't know.
They said there was no storm going on at the time.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
I didn't think they, oh.
Maybe yeah,
they
he did. Said something like there was no, not out of nowhere. It was later. Maybe it was later when Steve's explaining it to the table.
Oh, maybe.
Could be.
But he says there was no record of any storm on that day or something like that.
Okay.
But I want to say here, though, too, is if we go back to when we hear Melanie looking for a dress for Pearl, her trunks contained all of her clothes.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I didn't even connect that.
I didn't either.
Right now.
So, but then, so I wonder if she was not at peace for so long because she couldn't get to her stuff, or was she potentially trapped in with her, the memories mm-hmm. trapped within that trunk. And so maybe they, you know, because he doesn't mention having any spirit issues or anything in the house. He doesn't talk.
No, but that was 1981 when they opened it up, and this is
right.
2000.
I know, but he would have, his grandparents still lived in that house, and he doesn't mention, and Steve doesn't at least show asking, well, did you guys have a lot of experiences or weird things happening?
He asked if he had any experience, and I made a dumb joke, but he said, when you grew up and you visited the house, did anything,
did anything strange happen here?
And I said, one time my uncle, oh, you mean paranormal.
Oh, yeah. The only thing he said was the lightning bolt and the thunder when they opened the trunks.
Yeah. So, and that's why he told that story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than that, he's not saying any haunting type mm-hmm. stuff. So that's,
well, I don't think anything happened until, like you said, until that trunk was open mm-hmm. and then she came out.
Mm-hmm. Which we do see a connection to in the reveal. Amy yes. does make some mention of this, but to me, as soon as I saw that it was her trunks, I was like, she was looking for her dress. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, it was what she was planning to wear the next day when she was going to leave for mm-hmm. whatever. And she's like, I can't leave until I have this. Where is it?
Yeah. So then Steve is digging through the archives again. And now we find there was, in the 80s, Pearl's father owned 41 acres of land. And it turns out.
1880s.
What did I say?
You just said 80s.
Oh, yeah. In the 1880s, not 1980s. Thank you.
Slight difference.
So one of the worst railroad crashes in U.S. history happened right near mm-hmm. this property. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Wayne Hardy, who's the editor of the Blackshear Times, who looks like he's maybe 15 years old. He just looked super young. Or was that just me? He just looked like he was 12. Like, I wanted to be like, are
he
you
did
out?
Look really young. Yeah. I'm muting because my dogs are barking. But yeah, okay. He did look really young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we talk about it's considered one of the worst disasters in the state of mm-hmm. Georgia. And Steve asked how many people died, and Wayne said 27.
Yep. I found some articles. I did a little research. One says Railroad Horror, 1888, Train Wreck Kills John T. Ray, and 30-odd others. Another one said only 22, but they never say what actually happened really about the train crash. So I do have a snippet of what I took from the structuremagazine.org, which has a Black Shear bridge failure. So a little history on it was that it says around that time, a lot of railroads around the country continued to use wooden trusses for bridges instead of the iron bridges that were going across major rivers. Even though they only had a lifespan of about 8 to 10 years, they were considered an economical choice by many engineers and railroad companies. Some railroads put speed restrictions on the wood trestles. All was well on the line until 9:30 a.m. on March 17, 1880, when the Atlantic Coast fast mail train out of Savannah approached the bridge. One newspaper account wrote, "The baggage car got off the track about a quarter of a mile before it reached the bridge at Hurricane River." So being off the track means it's dragging to the side in some way. "The baggage car mounted the track, but the train passed safely over the bridge, the main river bridge. Immediately on the other side of the bridge, there is a trestle several hundred feet in length. When the baggage car struck the trestle work, it gave way, and the entire train, with the exception of the engine, dropped through, and with the exception of one car, was completely wrecked. The train consisted of a combination car, three baggage cars, a smoking car, one coach, two Pullman sleepers, which would have been full of people, and the private car of the Lee Valley. Another wrote, "In the creek, it was dry at the site. All was chaos and confusion. The cars were piled on top of each other, and the cries of the frightened, injured passengers arose from a cauldron of death. 19 dead bodies were taken from the wreck as soon as help could be organized. There may be others yet to be found."
Which goes with what Amy says, because she said there's a lot of people upstairs and they're like, oh shit, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Lots of them died. She says internal organs were smushed. They were crushed.
Yep.
And then Steve asks, what kind of injuries are we talking about with this wreck?
Lane, which is a great question.
Yeah.
With all the sarcasm I can muster on that. Great question.
Great question. And so Wayne said, "You're talking about a scene of bodies just piled on top of each other. Metal piled on people, people who are trapped. There's cars that are on fire, and there's no easy way to die in a crash like that." And Steve asked if they set up a triage center, and Wayne said a very crude makeshift triage center, which, like, I'm sure they did the best they could, but it was 1880s, you know? It's not like they had...
Well, and, like, that article that I just read just said, like, you know, 19 were pulled from the wreckage immediately. So they know at least 19 were dead. The numbers change, probably depended upon where people were taken care of or that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or what was followed up upon.
Yeah.
So kind of like if you think about Chernobyl, they say there nobody died in Chernobyl, or like there was only 8 deaths or whatever.
Because they died after. Sure. So then we get to the sketch, and it's really interesting the way Amy's sitting, because normally when she's sitting, she has her hands like flat on the table or at her sides. But here she has them like palm up.
Yeah.
Like she's almost meditating or channeling or something. It was interesting who she sketched to, because she said, "During my walk, I encountered many entities, but the suicidal man was in terrible grief," meaning, and I thought with as much as she talked about Pearl, that's who she was going to sketch.
But I don't think she was worried about Pearl being an issue. Yeah.
That's true.
So I think that later on, we see her do 2 sketches at times, and I think that at this point, it was like, well, draw whoever you think is the biggest problem.
That's
or whatever you think is the biggest problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say they did go into a lot of detail about her, like describing the artist asking questions and her describing, you know, and him. So, and then the artist says, "Amy, do you think this bears resemblance to the person you saw?" She said, "Yes, it does."
And that was so much more natural than, "Amy, is this what you saw?" "Yes, that's what I saw."
You mean the scripted outline that they provide later on?
So bad.
It was so stupid.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, all. I'm sure you have heard our ads for Wantable in the past few months. Both Amy P. and Megan have told you what they like about it, but now it's my turn. A friend and I were talking about Wantable the other day, and she said, it sounds interesting, but I'm so picky about clothes because I hate the styles I'm seeing lately. I told her that I felt that Wantable was made specifically for those who feel like this. First of all, you tell them exactly what you like. You can look at all these pictures on their website and go, I like this, I don't like that, never send me animal prints. And they actually have a real person picking out the clothes based on your preferences. They send all the items to you, and if you don't like any of it, you just put it back in the bag and send it back. I do suggest trying everything on, even if you don't think you'll like it, because I have found many items where I was like, ew, when I pulled it out of the bag, but once I tried it on, I loved it. So I don't recommend rejecting things right away. I also recommend taking some photos or videos of yourself, trying them on, and then a day later go back, rewatch, and then try things on again. You may change your mind. I have. But if you do send it all back, they'll just send you another bag of items to try. When you send something back, they give you an opportunity to say why you didn't like it, and I highly recommend you take the time to tell them. So, like my first bag, they sent me stuff that made me look like I'm going on a cruise ship for senior citizens, and I told them that. So I also recommend being really specific in your comments. Don't be afraid to say, I don't like the cut of this, this one made my boobs look too big, etc. My last reason for loving this way of shopping is that I don't like going to the store and trying on things. Almost nothing looks good on me that way. But I like to do it at home, and then I can mix and match with things that I already own. I can say, oh, I love this scarf, and it matches that dress I have, so I'm going to keep that. Now, Wantable isn't cheap, so think of it as a special treat for yourself. My co-host AP does this. Every once in a while, she'll get a box just to celebrate a win or something. So I wouldn't do it every month, but it's fun to get a giant bag of clothes and pull them all out and be like, that's ugly, that's cute. And if you use our promo code, The Activity Continues, you get $25 off whatever items you keep. So jump on this if you're ready to buy your new favorite clothing. Happy shopping, and don't forget, use the promo code The Activity Continues for $25 off your first order.
So we're in the reveal. So it is Robert and Carol in the clip. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it sounded like Steve had been talking for a while.
Yeah, because we don't hear any, hey, Amy, I'd like you to meet, da-da-da. It just jumps right in, mm-hmm. You know. They've been living here for
seven years.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, okay. Hi, I'm,
right.
You know.
So
none of that.
Again, the editing, it's early season. They're probably, you know, early mm-hmm. in the show. They're probably mm-hmm. just trying to figure out their groove. Mm-hmm. So the first thing she talks about was the two men in the attic, and these are the ones that like to jump high through the ceiling and drop down and make a lot of noise and shake the house.
Yeah. As she's talking, Robert just goes,
Yeah.
I am so over him in this fucking reveal. Every time they cut to him, he had the stupidest, dubious look on his face, like, okay, Jan.
Well, and
okay.
But then he'll talk about, then he'll be like, yeah, you know, we've had some loud bangs and footsteps and pops and things. And like, I set my cell phone and glasses down on the nightstand and they flew across the room. They didn't just fall off.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe it's just an old house that's settling. And
maybe the spirits don't like you, Robert.
Do you have a fan? Could the fan have blown your glasses across the room, you dummy McDummerton? Mm-hmm. He just drove me nuts. Like, he's just so, especially, we'll get to it at the end, but especially at the end, I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
But Amy's next part, though, where she says that this was all about revenge and disruption against the original owner, I don't understand that. Like, we don't hear anything that tells us why.
Right.
You know, especially because it's about these two men. So I wonder why, not sarcastically, but like, mm-hmm. what was here? Was it just because Steve says, well, maybe his property was connected to where the train went down mm-hmm. or the train line?
But like, that's loose. And they don't mention any mention mm-mm. of George being part of the rail, like a railroad tycoon. So like his decision would have caused the trestle to be made of wood. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's no backstory to that.
Yeah. They don't say that he was, you know, drinking beers at the bar in the middle of the day for
eating
lunch
oysters.
And walking, walking out.
Shucking shells or whatever you do to oysters. I don't know. How do you eat oysters?
You shuck them, yes.
Yeah. I know what I'm talking about.
You do. Even yourself.
I will say this was very, very, very interesting because Carol said we've had multiple pictures come off the walls. We've had lights pop since your walk. And I don't think that any client has ever said the activity has ramped up you walked through here.
I feel like it's been mentioned, but I don't know if it's been called out as direct as that. Because even, you know, some of them after we see the, you know, if the activity continues, it's like, well, the activity has picked up or the activity has gone on. So,
well, I want to say also some of the clients we spoke to said that happened before help got there.
Yep.
Like, oh, after Amy and Steve left, it got real bad. And then once the Spirit Mechanics, for example, it was good.
Yeah. And then Amy does say, you know, the activity will increase before or after the walk. Everybody just gets riled up. And it's kind of like when you do renovations, you're like stirring everything up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of the same thing. Robert, I'm surprised a vein didn't burst in his head when that was happening.
He was like clenching his jaw the whole time. Like, no, this isn't real. Like, this is just stop filling my wife's head with lies.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So stupid. It just drove me nuts. So then they talk about the train wreck.
Oh, Jesus.
And I know it was
every time we talk about the train wreck, Amy goes
I don't know
dark.
What it is. Because my light is, I kicked the cord with my foot before, and that's why it shut off. And then I got it back on, but it's, I don't know why it's turning off.
There it is.
And then it turns off really high and it turned down. And then just now I moved the cord so that I wouldn't hit it again and it shut up.
Ironic.
Can't win. Sorry, go ahead.
So we got Amy talking about the girl, the little girl. She opens and closes cabinet doors. She has long hair. She's all in gray and she really wants to talk. And then Carol started kind of demurely wiping her eyes because she's a lady and we don't want to smudge our mascara.
And we don't say potty.
And we don't say potty. Our bathroom? What are we, heated?
Well, you skipped over the train wreck.
Well, I just said he talked about the train wreck.
Oh, yeah. I had a comment in there because he talks about it being one of the biggest train wrecks in U.S. history. But the biggest train wreck in U.S. history is the Hammond Circus train wreck that happened in 1918 with 127 were injured, 86 were reported to have died.
Oh my God.
And it was where one train was stopped on a track and another one just basically ran up through it and went through all the sleeper cars. And I think either My Favorite Murder or And That's Why We Drink or both has covered it. I can't remember.
Well, he did say probably one of the biggest. Yeah. So he didn't say the biggest, but
no.
Yeah.
Amy was just doing a fun fact, right?
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy's talking about Pearl, and then Carol is saying, that's what my daughter sees. And then she talked about when she took her dog out, the lower cabinet door had been completely ripped off its hinges. And then they switched to Amy. She took the biggest gulp I think I've ever seen.
She was like,
she was like, really? I'm like, damn. So then that's where Steve talks about Pearl built a home in 1905. He had a young daughter. Her name was Pearl. She burned to death. She was carrying a kerosene lamp. And then she was burned beyond recognition. They got a picture of Pearl. And then this is where Amy gets super duper upset and actually has to leave. Mm-hmm. She just starts sobbing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was really so, so sad. And then it was so sweet. He like touches her and he's like, it's okay. I'm like, why couldn't you stay like this, Steve?
Oh, I know.
She was really understanding why Pearl was in such agonizing and torture. She's been basically tortured since her death because she doesn't quite remember that what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when she gets back, she explains why this affected her so much.
Yeah.
Which is, this is the episode that so many people talk about. The one where the spirit was in the room.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for Amy said when she gets back, she's okay. And she does a voiceover and says, for some reason, I felt compelled to stay open during the reveal so I can communicate more easily. Pearl knew this, so she sat on the floor beside Amy the whole time. Her sadness and grief overwhelmed me. And so when she gets back, Steve asked what happened, and she said the girl was under the table. And Robert is like, this girl here? And Amy's like, yeah, she's angry and emotional, and she doesn't know she's dead. She kind of goes back and forth between knowing and not knowing. And then Carol talks to Amy and tells her what's going on with Melanie. And Amy again says, wow. And then you got fucking Robert, who just looks like, this is such a waste of my fucking time. Like, he is just so disdainful this entire time. I don't even know why she had him in the room, but probably because she had to have somebody.
Yeah.
So then Steve talks about in 1981, after grandparents passed away, they opened the trunk. Oh, you're right. Here it is. Because he said it was odd because there's no mention of a thunderstorm or anything. But when they opened the trunk, lightning and thunder struck as soon as he opened it. And so Steve asked if something like opening up that trunk, could that trigger the activity? And Amy said it does make sense because the trunk kept it locked up and everything. They never let that go and, you know, essentially like tied the
Pearl, grieving.
Yeah, grieving. To her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 3 years later, the house is sold. And then they talk about the person who bought the house, the previous owner. He ran out of here and left out of the furniture. And Amy's like, he literally ran? And she's like, yeah.
They're like, well, maybe he walked. I don't know. But he left in a hurry.
He was speed walking at the minimum.
And we don't know how long he lived there. And we don't know how long this family has lived there.
Yeah.
Because this came out in, what, 2011?
Yeah, if it's the first season.
2011 10, or 2012.
One of those.
2012. June 1, 2012.
Yeah,
so it would have probably been recorded early. At the very end of 2011.
So then she talks about the suicidal man. And so he doesn't know he's dead. And she said someone who has killed themselves, they typically know that they've killed themselves. So she was very like confused because if he killed himself, but he didn't make sense. He didn't know he was dead. It was very confusing. So Steve then talks about George Taylor was Pearl's father. They had already lost a child and he died in the house, but he had a stroke a couple of months before he died. And then he died suddenly.
Which
and
he died like 20 years after Pearl. This makes it sound like he died right after Pearl.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
He didn't pass until like the 1920s or 30s or something. Because I found his grave marker along when I was searching for Pearl.
Mm-hmm. So now we get this sounds like the man I sketched. And Steve's like, I'm going to see it tonight for the first time with you guys. And I'm just like, Robert just looks so bored. Like every time they pan to him, he just looks like fucking stupid.
I wonder how much of that is editing. It's the season one, so there probably wasn't a whole lot of fuckery with editing at that point, which we know there was later. But again, it's hard for us to know what actually happened in the room unless someone tells us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is one of the few times where I agree that her sketch looks very similar to her.
I agree.
Yeah. So now we get to can you stay here? Are you safe? What do you need to do? And then Amy says you have to contact a priest. He needs to come, or I guess a priest is a he. So he needs to come and do last rite. And she said nobody is to be mentioned by name when he does this. And then after he does the last rites, he's going to do a funeral speech and then a house blessing. And Steve asks, well, what about the two guys upstairs who are constantly stomping around and everything? And she said, well, that's the blessing part. That's going to get rid of the women, the two men upstairs, and then Pearl and her father. And then she does a voiceover and says, like, the living, the dead need closure, especially if they don't know they died. And so that's a really good, really good point, you know, to make. And so then client says that will get rid of her father, too. And Amy said, yeah, it might not be a calm experience. And Robert's like, what the fuck do you mean? And Amy's like, well, you're dealing with people who are very emotional. Like, so she said there might be things, you know, shaking, falling off the wall. loud bangs, kind of everything that you're experiencing now, you know, might just kind of be amped up. And then Robert is like, I mean, how am I going to go to our local priest and have him come in here and do this? Yeah. I mean, he's going to think I'm nuts.
That's what priests are kind of for, is when people are having crisis like this.
Whether physical or spiritual.
Right. And I think Amy, she answered that nicely. She was like, you'd be surprised.
And then Steve backs her up and he's like, dude, like if Amy tells you to do something, you should fucking do it.
Thank you, Steve.
Good job. But then they don't, because at the end.
Nope.
It says, since the investigation, Carol and Robert have yet to contact a priest. The activity in their home continues. Yep. Because of course it did.
Because of course.
Yep. So. It was a good, I really liked this one.
It was a good episode. I really liked it when I found that it was the one where the priest, the spirit was under the table. I was like, oh my God, this is the one that people on the Dead Files Facebook group are talking about all the time, but nobody ever knows which one it is. So we're going to have to go on the group and say, hey, this is the one, and we did it.
Go listen. I really thought this was a good episode.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
Good job, Megan.
Especially,
good pick.
I did it, especially for being one of the earlier
other
episodes.
Ones, yeah.
I mean, they did well with what they had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting to watch the earlier ones and then go to the later ones and see how they've changed and how they've, you know, adjusted. Well, but
if they were to do this one now, we would see more about George Taylor. We would learn more we'd learn a little bit more about him. Amy, I just dropped in his death certificate. He was 70. He died in 1928.
Oh, wow.
So she passed away in 1910, so 18 years later. But the way that they set it up in there, it makes it sound like he died of a broken heart months after her, but it's not quite.
Well, maybe for our next one, we should do a more current one. Amy, it is your turn to choose, and I didn't ask you to find something ahead of time. Oh, we have it already. I have another one already ready to go for you, except that our next recording is one that's just me and Megan. So Shop of Horrors is the next one that you had told me about. So
Shop of Horrors.
I will just pick another one for Megan and I to do next time. And then we'll do Shop of Horrors when you're back on with us.
Megan and me are going to
do another one.
Okay. Thanks, Megan, for choosing that. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Guys, I just found a note that Carol wrote to somebody. I came across your website while searching for answers. My name is Carol. I live in a very small town in Southeast Georgia. We moved here last July from Atlanta. This was in 2003. I'm going to tell you some of what was going on and ask you to look at our photo and give me your honest opinion. Our house was built in 1903 by a wealthy man named George Taylor. He had six daughters. One was named Pearl. She was born in 1894. She was scheduled to leave on August 28th, 1910, to go to school in Atlanta. She never made it. The night before her departure, Pearl got up in the middle of the night to help her sister with her baby, who was ill. The oil from the lamp splashed on Pearl's nightgown, and she caught fire. She fell to the bottom of the staircase, engulfed in flames. She lingered the rest of the day until she finally died. We were not aware of any of this until after we bought the house. By then, we were experiencing a lot of strange events. The story of Pearl was told to us by her great-nephew, who is still alive.
Forrest.
He said his parents could not live in the house because the ghost bothered his mother too much. They built a house in the backyard of this one, moved in, and sold the house in the 1980s. We bought this house from that individual. The photo in question was taken, so she has some photos here. I'll drop the link in. The photo in question was taken April 30th, 2005, my son Jacob's prom night. He and his friends came to the house after 8 p.m. for photos. We took several. The last two were on the staircase. There were less than 10 seconds between the two shots. The first one was fine, but the last one had something on it. After the kids left, we went into the kitchen for dinner. We heard the upstairs door begin to slam violently. They slam on their own a lot, but never like this. We jokingly said Pearl must be upset that she didn't get to go to prom. We didn't notice the photo until the next morning on Monday. I took the camera to our local photography studio. He put the memory card into his computer and ran it through his programs. He said it is not light reflections, dust particles, artifacts, or camera failure. He said it is a three-dimensional in motion and has well-defined edges. He also stated that it is behind the stair post, not in front of it. He also said he could make out a face, a female face in it. I asked what it was, and he replied, a ghost. I have since done a lot of research, and we have an investigating team coming out. Since you have a lot of experience with this, please give me your honest opinion if you'd like to take in, if it would take me an hour to tell you all of the strange things that go on here. It is well known through the county that the house is haunted. I even have people tell me they have nightmares about my house. Thank you so much for taking the time to read my email. I look forward to hearing from you. Signed, her full name.
Where is this? Where did she send it to?
I don't even know. ParanormalPhotosTripod.com.
Huh.
I will drop it in the chat for you guys so you guys can take a look at the photo. Awesome. I was just taking a look to see if there was any information about George Taylor, like who he was, what he did, if we could figure out like why.
Yeah.
He might be.
It sounds like then they knew about this before they called Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, they did because she had that newspaper. I mean, not the newspaper, the book. She had found the book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture right now. Now an ad is running over it and I can't see.
Oh, yeah, it keeps doing that.
Oh, I see. It's an orb
mm-hmm.
next to one of the prom kids.
So the other son's name, so it's Jim and Jacob are the boys, and this was Jacob's prom night in 2005.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good find, Amy.
Thanks.
That's awesome. I will put that in the show notes in the link. That's so cool. Okay. I'm going to dig some more.
Yeah.
All right.
So sorry. I throw in a little extra in there.
Yeah. No, that's everyone. Awesome. That's
heck
awesome.
Yeah. Bonus.
Heck yeah. All right. Well, on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to Megan for picking out that great story.
It was very delightful.
And leading us today.
Yeah.
And I will let you know what we're doing next week. I'm not sure yet, but it'll be a good one, I hope. And it'll probably be a newer one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're gonna bounce back to it. And probably not in Georgia. Let's find a newer one that's not in Georgia.
Yeah.
We did two Georgias in a row. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Right.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.